Dr. Joan Kenley, psychologist and author of Whose Body Is It Anyway? Now bringing you Conversation Radio here on 960 The Quake, every Saturday at 5.
Hello, I'm Joan Kenley, welcoming you to The Joan Kenley Show. We're bringing you Conversation Radio, a program where talking really matters, with topics to touch your mind, body, heart, and soul. Today, we're focusing on food, a yummy subject which touches on the personal, the social, and the cultural. It's been said that we are what we eat. Well, it appears someone philosophical did a riff on that quote by saying, "If you are what you eat, and you don't know what you're eating, do you know who you are?" Well, we could sit on that one for a long time, but we won't. And then there's the nutritionist and author Adele Davis, who gave us yet a different take on these words by saying, "We are indeed much more than we eat, but what we eat can help us to be much more than we are." Healthy and aware and awake and all the good things we like to talk about. So from personal topics about eating to the larger issue of global food awareness, we'll be exploring how the food you eat affects more than just your waistline, the rewards of mindful eating and mindful cooking, how healthy foods can still be fast food even when you're on the run, how at-home eating habits become a health legacy for children, and why social, environmental, and economic issues relate to food everywhere. And we have some fascinating ideas about Mindless Eating, a new book. So today we are joined by two dynamic people involved in healthy and social consciousness about food. We are so glad to welcome Tercy Engelhart, who along with her husband Matthew founded Cafe Gratitude, a Bay Area restaurant that serves organic, vegan, and raw foods. Tercy has a long track record as an entrepreneur and pioneer in the food industry. She's a self-taught chef and a visionary in the field of business development. She is also co-author of I Am Grateful, Recipes and Lifestyle of Cafe Gratitude. And we're so happy to have Justin Jackson. He's an executive purchasing coordinator for Whole Foods. He has worked in the food industry since age 10 and has been with Whole Foods for more than a decade. His passion for quality and organic foods has made him a valuable asset to the company, both as an executive and spokesperson. He currently oversees all product decisions for the 20 Northern California stores. So, Justin, tell us about your role with Whole Foods and what drew you to work for them.
Well, my current role with Whole Foods is to try and lead and guide our product decisions in the Northern California region. And what brought me to this role was my own life history, and that as a young man, as a boy, at one point my mother decided that we should change our eating habits, and we became macrobiotic.
And this was when you were how old?
That's when I was six.
Oh my!
I was five or six, and it was a real challenge. It was a huge transition from the way we originally had eaten, and I think it really put food really in the focus, and it was difficult to get macrobiotic foods back then. I mean,
of course.
I think the closest grocery store was probably about 6 miles away, and we didn't have a car, so.
That sounds tough to me.
Yeah, sure. So it really projected food to the forefront, natural foods, and it sort of set the tone for me in my life of how I was going to live in regards to food.
What changed her philosophy? What brought her to that decision in her life?
Well, I think she was tremendously concerned about what she was seeing out there environmentally, and she wanted to make sure that her children had the right foundation in their lives. And it was something that she didn't have, and she felt that there were health ramifications as a result. And
well, definitely there are health ramifications, and you were lucky as such a young child to start off on a healthy eating program that became your lifestyle, didn't it?
Yes, it did. It did. It certainly did, you know, both personally and professionally.
And that's when we have to start with families thinking about food, for sure. Well, Tercy, why don't you tell us about your wonderful restaurant, Cafe Gratitude, and why were you and your husband inspired to create it, and what makes your approach unique?
So, let's see, Joan. First of all, when Matthew and I got together about 6 years ago, we have, between us, five grown children. And so we were saying, well, what do we want our life to be about at this point in our lives? And we chose to take on a life that was led by and are trusting of what we call inner guidance, that sort of small, still voice within. And the first thing that we heard was invent a board game. And so we did. And neither one of us had a history or of inventing board games. And we just sat down with a blank piece of paper and a couple pebbles and some index cards and dice and just said, it's your turn. What are you going to do? And then we'd write down notes and I'd take a turn and we'd write down notes. And a year later, we had a board game called The Abounding River. And the focus of the board game is shifting our attention from scarcity, which we say is an inherited view of some version, any version of not enough, to there is plenty for everyone, to being grateful for what we already have been given. The board game was a great vehicle because you didn't have to commit to a seminar or a book, or you could just take a couple turns at a board game, leave it set up, and practice shifting your attention. And then in the process of inventing that board game, we got some guidance to write a logbook as well. So we wrote a book that's a version of the board game. And then, of course, it was like, well, how are we going to get this board game to people? And let's just create a little cafe where people can come sit, kind of like a gaming parlor, play the game, have a cup of coffee, a little croissant, scones. And I come from a baking background, like Justin, my mother was a primary influence in my life in the realm of food. And my recipe book, I Am Grateful, which is coming out in March, is dedicated to her. So in the meantime, we have a organic farm in Hawaii, in Maui. And so We were there one day. I read a book about raw food, living food, and it just made so much sense to me. It was like I'd found home. And so I said to Matthew, let's try this diet for 30 days and just see what happens. And
so you hadn't been eating raw food before with your children or in your own adult lives?
No, Matthew's been a vegetarian for most of his life. I have a varied background in food, mostly a kind of a love-hate relationship with food and always wanting to be thinner than I was and being a competitive
athlete. We've never heard that before.
Right. And being a competitive athlete and loving to prepare food, loving to serve food, loving to feed people. And so we tried this living food lifestyle for 30 days and couldn't believe how great we felt. And so we just stuck with it and then realized, well, I guess this cafe where they're going to play the game will be live food. And so I started experimenting and developed the recipes from there by having dinner parties in our house and testing it on people. And that was the beginning of Cafe Gratitude.
Wonderful story. Wonderful story. I'd like to go back and ask you, Justin, just what was the philosophy that started Whole Foods in the first place? And wasn't it in Austin, Texas?
It was in Austin, Texas. Yeah. And it was John Mackey. He's our CEO. It's hard for me to speak for him, but clearly he saw that there was an opportunity in the natural foods and organic channel to really make an impact where there wasn't one before. And I think for him, he really felt that he could influence people's lives and that this was a great opportunity for him to influence people's lives in the way they were eating.
And there weren't any large grocery stores that were totally dedicated to being organic and healthful, as far as I know.
No, that's true. That's true. And what's funny is when we look back and we say, what was a large natural or organic food store, a health food store? And I think, you know, years ago, 10,000 square feet would have been huge.
Oh, indeed.
And I think we look at it now and we're seeing more mega stores that are healthy food stores. And, you know, you're thinking 40, 50,000, even 60. Eventually, probably we're going to get to 100,000 square feet. So I think the goal really is, you know, how much can we impact the food choices people are making?
Years ago, you had to travel to a farmer's market almost to be sure that you were getting what you thought was farm fresh food or organic food. And of course, in conversation with people over the years, some have said, is organic food a gimmick to just charge more in food stores? And of course, I don't know what the regulatory issues are, and we'll probably get into that a little bit later. But the idea that we have to have confidence in what we're buying wherever we go to buy food, if we're conscious that good food is important to our health, which we know it is. And so I believe that the Whole Foods brand and also places like Cafe Gratitude are places that instill in the customer a confidence in what you're going to go find when you go to the restaurant or go to the store. But how many stores does Whole Foods have now nationally?
There are 186 stores in total about, I believe, 181 of those are in the United States, and the other five are outside of the United States.
And they started in what year?
Whole Foods started in 1981 in Austin, Texas, and eventually as the company grew, they purchased Bread and Circus stores that were in the Northeast, which had begun in 1975. So together, the history is even longer. It goes back, I would say, to 1975.
So that's farther back than I remembered. So that's very interesting to know. And you started Cafe Gratitude when?
2 years and 8 months ago. And we have 3 cafes now.
Tell us where they are.
We have one in the Mission District of San Francisco, one in the Avenues in the Inner Sunset, and one in Berkeley in the East Bay. And we're opening up San Rafael early February 2007.
So you are wildly successful at a very early stage in your business development. So that is really terrific. Well, we have so much more to talk about, and we need to close this first segment. And I want to ask the audience, is hosting a dinner party a source of joy for you, or does it intimidate you? How do restaurant chefs and grocery stores relate to you as a customer? Are you a mindful eater or a mindless eater? What we want to do today is open your curiosity about how your food can be healthy, interesting, and fun. Justin and Tercy have so much more to share, so do stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Dr. Joan Kenley, taking conversation radio to the next level, here on 960 The Quake. What's not to love about the Joan Kenley Show, where conversation truly matters, on 960 The Quake.
Hello, I'm Joan Kenley, and you're listening to The Joan Kenley Show, where we're talking today about focusing on food. And it's been said that cooking is at once child's play and adult's joy. Well, we hope that's true for you. There are so many ways all of us are in relationship to food, making daily choices to sustain ourselves and experiencing it as the centerpiece for all kinds of gatherings, holidays, birthdays, celebrations. Makes my mouth water to talk about it. Cooking delicious meals and hosting guests around the table is a privilege for some and a burden for others, and we can talk about that too. We have 2 great guests with us today to help us make sense of all of this. Tercy Engelhart, co-founder of Cafe Gratitude, and Justin Jackson, executive purchasing coordinator for Whole Foods Market. Tercy, what have you observed about people who are purposefully involved with quality food that's beautifully prepared as we get started here, either for social occasions or at your restaurant? I'd like to bring up how gratitude goes into your cafe experience as well.
Well, a couple of things, Joan. At Cafe Gratitude, we purchase the best food that the planet has to offer. And then
where do you purchase your food?
So we purchase from small local farms as well as large vendors who source food from around the world. It really is a global marketplace today, particularly in the raw food world, because we look for a lot of specialty items. And then, you know, we prepare and serve food in a way that really keeps the emotional aspect of eating what we say is healthy, which is our attention on being grateful for all that we already have.
Could I ask you a question there? Because I'm curious why raw food is considered better food than cooked food.
Well, the primary reason that we say raw food is better than cooked food is there's a lot of energy in food, mm-hmm. just like food is fuel. Mm-hmm. So there's energy in food, and the enzymes of food are the source of that energy, and raw food still has active enzymes. So, for example, a sprouted nut that hasn't been roasted could be planted and it would grow a tree. Mm-hmm. And so that energy of the tree is in the live nut. And so when you eat it, you have that energy available, and it takes less energy for your body to break down and assimilate that food into the nutritional value that it has when it's live as opposed to when it's cooked.
Okay, then maybe you can help me out here. I understand as people get older, their digestive enzymes change, and that sometimes steaming vegetables a little bit helps to break down the nutritional elements that you want in a vegetable, for instance, that might be more bioavailable if your digestive enzymes aren't up to speed. Now, does that make any sense at all?
Well, it makes sense. And being somebody who's really committed to and invested in having more people eat plant-based diets, in particular live food, there are also digestion enzymes that you can take that help your body in breaking down those live foods, and your body will heal and repair itself. Sometimes the problems that we put with aging and we think are normal are actually the result of not eating the healthiest diet for the previous years of our life. And they're not normal, they're just what's so now.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. And I think when people start to try to eat healthfully when they're 45 or 50, after a lifetime of not paying attention, you can't just switch over and expect your body to know immediately what to do with this new regimen that you have, the same way if you decided to exercise vigorously when you haven't exercised at all. You're going to pay the price if you don't do it slowly and mindfully and with maybe professional advice.
Absolutely.
Good. So, Justin, what do you find customers asking for at your stores, and do they want to be educated about what you have, or do they just want to come in and get it?
That's a good question. I think that both. I think our customers, what they're asking for is for us to make their decisions safe. They want to be able to come into the store and understand that the things that they're choosing to pick out in our store are safe for them, that they don't have additives, that they're the that there's no antibiotics, that there's no chemicals. And, you know, they want to trust that we've done the work for them. It's critical for them. And if they don't have the answers, they want to be able to ask regardless of what the question is. And I think that's where we come in. We have to be able to answer those questions for our customers.
So do you then have an educational program for your employees so that they are aware of what the customer is looking for and how to read labels on the boxes or cans or packages that you have?
Sure, we do. Absolutely. Each product team does that on their own. And as a company, Whole Foods actually has a Whole Foods University. And you can take courses through Whole Foods University, and each team will give time to different team members to go sit down, and it's an online university. So you go, you sit down, and you take university classes and get accredited online.
That's just amazing. I'm just so impressed about what technology can do for us. I mean, we talk here often about how Google helps us out every single day and the other search engines that we use. And the fact that we can do online training and that we can find out about foods online and compare foods online, I think we are so privileged to be able to look up and research what health can be about these days and find restaurants that we want and find addresses for your restaurant. For instance, if they would Google Cafe and Gratitude or Cafe Gratitude, they'd find out where you are.
They sure will.
And same thing with Whole Foods. You put in Whole Foods and you'll find your neighborhood Whole Foods store. So all of that's so good for us. And so when we look at what people are doing about coming to restaurants and coming to your grocery store even to find prepared foods for large parties or just family dinners, I am interested to know if you think people are interested in coming to a restaurant or coming to a store to buy prepared food, that it's about the busy lifestyles that we have today that have to incorporate some healthy moments and some healthy conversation, for instance.
Well, certainly at Cafe Gratitude, we offer catering, and we also do all of our food to go, and we do have a deli section in all of our cafes and an expanded one planned for the San Rafael store. And for me, I think people are busy, and now I think people are aware of that what they eat impacts the quality of their health. And so more and more people, I think, are looking for healthy prepared foods to ease the burden of being able to eat healthy while having really busy lifestyles. So I absolutely think it's important to be able to provide that service.
And Whole Foods has little cafe areas where people can eat the food they buy in the store or take it home with them too.
Yeah, sure we do. And I think to Tercy's point, I think it's a really good point that people are so busy and they're looking for those healthy choices, and they're recognizing the lack of the healthy choices that have been out there for them for such a long time. And they've made those choices, unfortunately, and it puts them in oftentimes where they are today. So, you know, clearly our customers are coming in looking looking to figure out how to eat in such a busy time and how they can do that in a healthy way that supports them.
And we try and make it
as simple as we can. Just like Tercy's doing now.
Well, I just met Al Gore last week, and he's, of course, talking about Inconvenient Truth, and it's now out on DVD. And it's so interesting to know in the food industry some changes that are being made. For instance, Styrofoam cups has been outlawed in California, which is terrific. And then the fast food restaurants in New York you were telling us about in the break were...
Sure, they've banned trans fats, which are the hydrogenated oils, which... is a tremendous step in probably addressing health needs of many people who don't know the impact of the choices that they're making.
They don't. And when we look about saving the environment and sustainability, we have to look at the whole food chain, you know, the complete way from the farm to the table, and what it means to us to pay attention to that. And also, I said we were going to talk about mindless eating, and I don't want to forget that, because one of the wonderful things in this book that I've been reading by Dr. Brian Wansink, he says that when we're with people we like, we tend to eat for longer periods of time than when we're by ourselves, unless you're a person that eats a lot when you're alone. But when we're having fun and we want to hear a funny story or we want to tell one, we seem to eat more. And furthermore, he says it's just good manners to wait until everyone has finished before we push away from the table. And at some point around high school, we develop enough empathy not to want to leave someone eating by themselves. So we nibble a bit more on a salad or have another piece of bread, and maybe we decide to have dessert along with some of the others. And so eating is like shopping. The longer you stay at the mall, the more you buy. So the longer you stay at the table, maybe the more you eat. So that's just one little tip he has in the book, which I think everybody should pick up, because he has some surprising things to tell you. Luciano Pavarotti said, "One of the very nicest things about life is the way we must regularly stop whatever it is we're doing and devote our attention to eating." And of course, we knew that was one of his favorite things to do. Have you ever wondered about the difference between natural and organic when you see them on a food label? When we come back, we'll hear how Whole Foods and Cafe Gratitude are listening to their customers and giving them just what they want. Keep listening, and we'll keep talking.
More in a moment with Dr. Joan Kenley, psychologist and author of Whose Body Is It Anyway? Now bringing you Conversation Radio every Saturday at 5 here on 960 The Quake. You found it, and it's different. The Joan Kenley Show, Saturdays at 5, right here on 960 The Quake.
Hello, I'm Joan Kenley, and you're tuned into The Joan Kenley Show, where we're talking about focusing on food. And there's emotional eating, and there's comfort food, and there's eating when you're upset. Oh, we have lots to talk about. And we have Justin Jackson with us from Whole Foods Market, and he's the Executive Purchasing Coordinator for them. And Justin is an avid proponent of both quality goods and organic foods. And we have Tercy Engelhardt, the co-founder of Cafe Gratitude. Tercy has dedicated her life to making a difference and empowering future generations. So, Tercy, why don't you tell us how you prepare your raw food in your restaurant? Because I find it so interesting.
Well, raw food it's unique in that, you know, it takes thinking ahead a little bit. So, you know, of course, there's food as it's growing, which is easy to eat, and you don't have to plan a lot, just making sure that you have fruits and vegetables readily available in just their raw form. But if you want to go into more prepared foods in a living food version, then there are things like dehydration, where the temperature of still maintaining the enzymes in a food, the maximum temperature is 118 degrees. Which means that it's done in a dehydrator over a longer period of time, so it takes the moisture out of the food, and you can in fact make breads and crackers and granolas, but you still have the enzymes in the food available.
Oh, that's just fascinating to hear about. So then you have such a large choice of food, not just the fruits and vegetables, but you can have your breads and other things.
That's true, because a lot of people, when we say raw food, they think we mean ranch dressing with carrot sticks.
And right.
I promise you, we wouldn't be able to have the restaurants we have if that's what we were serving. Our menu is actually 6 pages long. It's a very expansive menu because there's so many ways of eating food that just aren't the cultural norm, so we don't know they're available. You know, for me, loving to prepare food, it was like a whole new world opened up when I got to start learning how and practicing and creating recipes that were live, because there was this whole new way of preparing food that I didn't know about. And it's so great to be able to serve that food, knowing that you're feeding people some of the best food for their bodies.
Well, of course, but it's so interesting for me to consider in a 6-page menu what might surprise me most at your restaurant that you're offering.
Well, let's see. We have I Am Cheerful, which is a raw, dehydrated veggie burger. And we have I Am Elated, which are enchiladas. And let's see, we have pad thai.
Quite a choice.
Yeah, I was curious, Tercy, for people who would want to go into that lifestyle, I think one of the things you think about going in is that is too much of a challenge. It's too much to do. It's too much to prepare. How am I going to do it? How could you make it easy? How did you get past that?
Well, one of the ways you can make it easy is partner with Whole Foods, because Whole Foods now carries some raw food, things like crackers and the breads that are the more time consuming. But there's the whole world of salads and all the vegetables that people don't know of that are available in Whole Foods markets. And it's really in the planning ahead. It's like you're looking a few days out. So there's less pressure right before you serve a meal because you've thought ahead. So it just kind of shifts the way that the meals are prepared. But, you know, there's salads, there's smoothies, there's juices. Juices are one of the easiest ways to transition into a vegetarian or a live food lifestyle because they're so easy to digest and you get so much nutrition. And I know you guys sell juicers, so, you know, it's possible.
And not just
to juice
juicers, but we have a Vitamix, and you can make these incredible sauces with fresh basil and parsley, and it just purees them in a couple of minutes, and you just have the most delicious oil-free dressing for your salad. And I didn't even know about this particular product until last year, and it's now my favorite toy.
Well,
in
previous expressions for me, you would spend hours making a marinara sauce, cooking it over the stove, stirring it, and we make a marinara sauce in minutes in a Vitamix. So,
there you
and
go.
It tastes
the opposite.
It's the opposite in some of those, but it's learning, it's having the right equipment and then just practice. Just like you've practiced baking and preparing food in the traditional way, it's just a practice. For me, it's much easier, much simpler. And I used to get exhausted preparing cooked food. And after preparing live food, you're more energized because you're working with live food.
Great philosophy and great way to do it. So in your stores, Justin, I'd like to know how people find products that they feel are labeled in a way that they understand. For instance, what is the difference between naturally flavored and natural?
Well, clearly natural flavored is there's some sort of flavoring that's been used to embellish the food. I think natural is a very broad term.
It is, and it's not really. What about the government? Do they have anything to say about this labeling?
They don't. And the natural label is a non-defined term.
That's what I thought.
Quite a lot can go into a natural label.
And what about the organic food organizations? Is there such a thing, or is there some control there?
At this point, most people will look to the USDA. There's a USDA stamp now that says that things are organic to a certain percentage. It can be 100%, or it can be 90%, or it has to be a certain percentage to say that it has organic ingredients involved. Mm-hmm. And then there are other independent bodies, organizations that prior to the USDA, you would use to certify that your product was organic.
Well, it's good to know that there are some guidelines, and I'm kind of curious to know when we're talking about food, because in your restaurant you don't have processed foods, Tercy, but there is this thing about processed foods not being good for people. But what is your definition, Justin, of processed foods?
That's a tough question. I think that's an open-ended question because processed foods could be naturally processed.
Let's say about the not naturally processed foods that aren't so good for us. For instance, you know, there are these cheeses in a jar that have been cooked to death and twirled around, and you find 20 different ingredients to preserve them and stuff them up with other colors and so forth. I'm talking more about that.
Well,
kind
in layman's
of thing.
Terms, I would I've generally called those processed foods dead foods, and kind of to what Tercy was
Thank
speaking
you.
About, that they really just don't have any true value to you, even if there's some semblance of nutrients that shows up on the Nutrifacts label. Clearly, your body's ability to assimilate those products is minimized, and you have to look at what your body can actually get out of something, not necessarily what something has in it.
Well, what about that adage, if you can't pronounce it, don't buy it, on the label?
It's not
I mean,
a bad
these
adage.
Long polysyllabic things we don't know about. But also, I have understood from some of my research that if you use an artificial sweetener in something, your body wants to process sugar. And therefore, it gets kind of jammed up in the process when you put an artificial something in your mouth. And it can actually stop the process of digesting normally. And people can retain water and not feel so good. Some people get headaches with artificial sweeteners. And I was just wondering if there's an organic sweetener that people might use that's more healthful than others.
There are, thanks to, you know, the awakening of us as human beings. So agave is a sweetener that's
Tell us
excellent.
About that.
Agave is a cactus sweetener, and it has a lower glycemic index. It's easier for your body to assimilate. It doesn't create the high and the severe drop, mm-hmm. and that's readily available now.
Where is it available?
It's available at Whole Foods.
Okay. And is it a liquid or is it a granule? Or
liquid.
It's a liquid. It comes in a light and dark version, so it looks kind of golden like honey or a little darker like molasses. Yacon is one of our favorite sweeteners.
Can you spell that?
Y-A-C-O-N. It comes from a root vegetable. And it's dark and molassesy, so it has some limited use because of strong flavor, but it's actually a probiotic. So it increases the health of the intestinal flora, which is what's greatly decreased by
processed foods.
Processed foods and refined sugar.
Exactly, because we don't understand that the nutrients we're not getting in processed foods and in dead foods is really detrimental to our health. It's what's causing some of the health epidemics in our country today, not the least of which is obesity.
Yep.
And, of course, the diabetes epidemic, too. So we want to look at the idea that we are happy that we can go to restaurants who are more convenient than maybe cooking at home if we have the time and the money to do that. We also want to look at the fact that prepared foods are helping us out in the grocery stores, the fact that the Whole Foods salad bar has about every choice in the world that you could want, plus soups, plus all kinds of other things. And you have meat and chicken and fish and all of those good things. But we are also mindful that we realize that food is only one part of the process of eating. Conversation and putting love into the conversation and having gratitude for the people around us and feeling that we're in some kind of harmony in a joyful occasion, whether it's just family or whether it's a whole celebratory event. And we do know that during family gatherings, things can get intense or personally negative, but it's very important for the health of our bodies and the food we're eating to look at those times for putting away the problems and looking at what the positive relational space can be. Isn't that true?
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that I love most about Cafe Gratitude is because it's based around this game, we have cards on our tables, which are the cards from the game, and they actually stimulate conversation. And there are conversations like, what do you love or appreciate about your mother? Or
Great.
What would you like to be acknowledged for? So we actually stimulate the conversation at the tables with friends, and we also share table seating, so oftentimes with strangers, that start to transform table conversations to healthy conversations to support both the dining experience and the digestion of food. And we print on our menu that our food's made with love. And we at the cafe have a way of keeping our employees clear of their concerns so that they can actually be putting love in their service and their food preparation.
Well, I think when I was talking with our producer, Shari, who was talking with you, Justin, before the show, you mentioned something about preparation of food in your home. And your mother said something about...
Oh, sure.
Yes.
You know, as a child, you know, as we went to the macrobiotic lifestyle, and my mother was very clear about the energy that we were putting into preparing our food. And, you know, I remember cleaning the rice out, and my mother would, you know, I'd not want to do it. Clearly, I was a six-year-old boy. I did not want to do that.
Right.
And she said, well, you've got to clean the rice. And I'd start swilling the rice around, and she'd say, no, you can't do that. that energy will come through as we begin to eat our meal. So slowly, you know, focus on the way you're cleaning that rice, and that's the energy that'll be out there when we're consuming it later on.
That's a great story. Well, I have to, of course, in a food show, quote Julia Child, and she said she felt strongly about the kind of food we eat. She said, "I want less processed food," bless her heart, and she says, "I don't like it at all. Instead, I want lots of fresh food and lots of people cooking it," and that's a great thing to picture indeed. When we come back, we'll look at where our food comes from, how it gets from the farm to the table, what inner city communities are doing to bring healthy food into their neighborhoods, and how Whole Foods and Cafe Gratitude are creating some of their own magic. So we'll be back in just a few minutes. Stay tuned.
Dr. Joan Kenley, taking conversation radio to the next level, here on 960 The Quake. You're listening to Dr. Joan Kenley, psychologist and author of Whose Body Is It Anyway? Now bringing you Conversation Radio on 960 The Quake every Saturday at 5.
Hello, I'm Joan Kenley here on The Joan Kenley Show, and today we're focusing on food. And we're having a great conversation with Justin Jackson, Executive Purchasing Coordinator for Whole Foods, and Tercy Engelhardt, co-founder of Cafe Gratitude. Having access to healthy, organic meats, dairy, fruits, and vegetables is easy and convenient for many, but that's not always so in many parts of the country. For instance, in income-challenged communities such as West Oakland, the number one cause of death is not violence, it's heart disease. A recent report showed that in this part of town, there are no small shops or full-service grocery stores that sell fresh produce, but there are many fast food chains, convenience stores, and liquor stores on practically every other corner. Without cars or easy transportation to other neighborhoods, cost and possibility prevent a solution. So this brings up an important social and moral problem in terms of who has access to healthy food. But there's a change and hope in the air. A wonderful group in West Oakland called People's Grocery is facing this issue head on. They're planning to launch a full-service cooperative grocery store featuring a demonstration garden and a cooking school. And they're starting several programs. Buying in bulk, which allows members in the community to purchase delicious organic foods at a fraction of the price. There's the Healthy Snack Initiative, which delivers quality, wholesome treats to schools and after-school programs, and the Mobile Store, a grocery store on wheels that goes around the community selling fresh produce and whole grains from a converted postal truck that runs on biodiesel. Now that's a good picture and a good deed. But educating residents is the main priority, especially young people, about sustainable agriculture, healthy foods, and balanced nutrition. With access to quality, affordable foods, health problems like obesity and diet-related diseases can be addressed at the grassroots level. That's where it needs to start. And I know that both of your companies have strong commitments to community service, and I'd love for you to share with us some of the food programs and organizations you're involved with and what you're doing. Tercy, you want to start?
Well, at Cafe Gratitude, one of the things that I love to share is that our young people, we have 170 employees, and our young people have taken on creating something called Gratitude Nights. And it's a monthly drug and alcohol-free party in which our employees donate some of their crafts and services, and they do a fundraising. And to date, they've done three causes. This is the fourth month, and they've raised money for like a Native American drug rehabilitation center. They've raised money for these 13 indigenous grandmothers who are traveling around the world in prayer for peace. They raised money for a Rastafarian who is in prison to support his parole.
And this is so inspiring.
It's so inspiring. It's like I've become like the Gratitude Nights cheerleader. And what's great is I didn't create it. It was like I'm seeing, you know, my life's about championing future generations. I'm a grandmother three times over as of day before yesterday.
Well, and congratulations.
I know, I'm so excited. I have three little granddaughters. And my life's about, not about me, my life's about what's the difference I can make in our future generations that will leave a legacy that will live on long before us. So Gratitude Nights, I'm so inspired by. And they pick causes in the local area, they raise money, and then they go and donate this money to these causes.
And don't you give away some food at the end of the day when you have
leftover
food?
We do. We give away leftover food. And then on Thanksgiving, we do a free meal to anyone who comes into the cafe.
So did you tell us in the break about a man who came in to buy a cup of tea?
Yes. So we had a man who we didn't know was homeless at the time, but he came in, and our menu, you say things like, I am precious, or I am loved. And all of our menu items have affirmations. And he came in and ordered a I am open, which for us is Earl Grey tea. And he actually tipped and he paid for it. And he sat there and just treasured it. And I was moved to tears because it was like, that's what the cafe is all about. And that evening when we were giving away some of our steamed grains at the end of the day, we dropped the box down beside him and he sat up. And here was this man who had been in the cafe and paid for his tea. So I just, you know, I really got it. For all of us, it's like not just our families, it starts with our families and then our extended families and then communities, and then it's really what's the difference you can make out in the broadest picture of this one being called human beings on planet Earth.
Absolutely. We are totally in sync with that here. And Justin, how is Whole Foods getting involved in the community?
Well, I have to say, it's very difficult to follow that up. But
yeah.
I think, you know, clearly each one of our locations is immersed in their community, and they try and support a number of different things. Clearly, we'll go into schools and try and teach people how to eat, show parents how they should feed their children. You know, on a regional level, what we've been doing recently is working to help stop hunger. In every one of our stores in Northern California, we have a Stop Hunger program going so that you can come into the store as a customer and you can buy groceries, an evening's worth of groceries, or a day's worth of groceries for a poor family. Beyond that, every single one of our locations has a special relationship with a food bank. So at the end of each day, food that's left over in all of our locations goes to a needy cause. It goes to a food bank rather than our having to throw it away.
That is so important, because I do know that a lot of restaurants just simply dump the food at the end of the day, and it seems like a terrible waste to me. And the fact that there's a plan, again, eating is planning ahead, and planning ahead for what to do with food that you can give to others is such an important philosophy, which is, of course, the philosophy of being organic, being sustainable, being conscious of the environment. And I would love to bring up the point about genetically modified foods. Do we know when we're eating them these days? And what does Whole Foods have in relationship to those products?
Sure. Well, I think if you don't want to eat genetically modified foods, you need to buy organic.
Okay.
I think it's very difficult to define whether a food product is not genetically modified unless it is organic. There are so many taints in our food chain now because of our country's allowance of that entering our food channels, that it's very challenging to figure out when you are or when you aren't.
Food providers don't have to tell you if it's genetically modified.
That's right. It's not.
That's really terrifying in a way if that isn't your choice in life. I mean, what kind of stores are buying these genetically modified foods? Just the ordinary grocery stores?
I think everyone is.
Well, except
very
for
much
Whole
impossible.
Foods.
No, I couldn't say that about Whole Foods. We couldn't to a...
You couldn't find out that far down the chain what's happening.
Exactly. So you do the best you possibly can, because clearly we're trying to take care of our customers. But again, I would go back to the organic piece. It's incredibly important that if that is something that you hold dear, that you must buy organic. That is your avenue to ensure that you're not buying bioengineered products. If you're not buying organic, buying local is a huge way to know where your product is coming from, and it gives you that opportunity to follow the food chain to see where it came from and what went into it. So I think that's a critical component.
And for instance, because Whole Foods is such a large entity and has so many stores, how does your organization decide where your farmers are, and are they small and large, or how does that process happen for a company as large as yours?
What we try to do is create a balance, and where it makes sense on a regional or sometimes a national level, purchasing is coordinated. But we also open up store buying so that each and every store has the ability to buy in their local community put those products on the shelf. I think you'll see that most prominently in the produce departments. And even you'll see in many of our stores now, we have farmers markets where we have local farmers come in on a weekend and they'll set up a farmers market in front of the store and we give them that space
That
they can market their goods there.
No, that's wonderful. I've noticed at your store in Berkeley that it's so popular that they now have valet parking because people just free valet parking. They couldn't handle all the people that wanted to come at certain times of the weekend and certain times of the day. So that's a great service. And when we're talking about taking care of ourselves, what would your message be to our audience today, Tercey? Because you have so much to say, and we could spend hours asking more questions, but we do have to close pretty soon. So I want to hear what your message would be to our audience.
I think my primary message to the audience would be that recognizing that, you know, this one body is here and it supports us in so many ways in this lifetime, and really looking at how can we awaken our consciousness to best take care of both ourselves, because when we're taking care of ourselves, we're taking better care of others, and as well as we're taking better care of the planet. So for me, I think it really does begin with self-care. And I personally think we just got back from a trip to India, and I really saw that our responsibility as people who live in this part of the planet where we really do have so much, our responsibility is being grateful for what we already have. And that if we're grateful, then how we go out and, you know, seek more or do more or contribute, that's different than if we feel like we're not worthy of this greatness, and then we keep consuming more and more. So I think it's our lesson here in this part of the planet, in this Western world, is really being responsible for and elevating our worthiness of the abundance that we already live in. And that's the way that I think we can really impact the global existence of people on this planet. So for me, I would say practice self-worth.
Great message, wonderful message. And so, Justin, what are your thoughts today?
Well, you know, clearly one of the reasons I work for Whole Foods Market is that I believe in what I'm doing. And it's a passion and it's a lifestyle. And
You're saying that it's a lifestyle, because, of course, Tercey was talking about that too. But it's a way of living, and it's a philosophy of living.
Truly.
And it's a dedication to living in a certain way. It's a commitment.
It is. It is. You know, I don't just work for Whole Foods, but I shop in a Whole Foods that's far too far from my house. And that's a tremendous commitment. But to the larger picture, the reason I work for Whole Foods is the effect that I believe that we can have on the greater society, and that if we're able to really successfully get people to transform the way that they're eating, that we're going to really transform people's lives. And I think as a company in such a large scale, having that ability is profound. You know, that we could potentially change the way people choose to eat and in essence treat themselves over our entire country. And that's a tremendous opportunity for us.
Well, indeed. And if the people demand certain products from their stores and their restaurants, what they want to eat in a conscious way, then it does change the world one person at a time. And that's what we talk about day in and day out here, is that making a decision for change is making a change for the world. And so both of your philosophies are something that we embrace here in the studio, and wish you both so well in the work that you're doing. And hopefully the audience will rush to your doorsteps to make this part of their lives too. Melody Beatty said, "Gratitude unlocks the fullness of life. It turns what we have into enough and then more. It can turn a meal into a feast, a house into a home, a stranger into a friend. Gratitude makes sense of our past, brings peace for today, and creates a vision for tomorrow." Oh, that's a quote that I could say day in and day out. I love it so. And we are so grateful to you, Justin and Tercey, for joining us today. Thank you for offering our listeners so many delicious and socially relevant ideas for focusing on foods. And we will take your message to heart as we go forward in our eating, which we have to do every day, and hopefully more consciously.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to say to everyone tuned in, thanks so much for listening. We want you to know that The Joan Kenley Show is co-created for your listening pleasure with our guests. You can find out more information about this week's show on my website, joankenley.com. That's K-E-N-L-E-Y, where all of our shows are archived and downloadable 24/7. Tune in every week as we explore what really matters, with subjects ranging from the personal to the global and offering some action ideas. We always engage in meaningful conversations with interesting guests about a variety of topics and themes. Huge thanks go to those who made this show possible, Peter B. Collins and Christy Healy, and here in the studio, program producer Shari Berger and Shane Sharkey, engineer and technical producer. This is Joan Kenley inviting you to tune into our show for more Conversation Radio every Saturday at 5 on 960 The Quake.